Man, isn't it incredible that our church is full of such talented people that use their talents? We're just blessed as a church, so I am blown away always by our staff and team and volunteers and folks that use their gifts for God. We are starting a new series. We're taking a look at what does it mean to forgive. So many of us carry around hurts, and those hurts pile up, and it becomes baggage after a while. And so we're taking a look at the scripture over the next several weeks. What does it mean to forgive? How do we forgive? What does this look like for us as a Christian community? And in this first week, we're going to talk about the theology of forgiveness. We're going to look at the big picture. What is scripture gives us this command, but why? How do we think about that? So I brought out the flip chart. So y'all are in store for, we're going deep today, okay? We're going to see, you just hang with me. We're going to look at theology today. You're going to feel so learned by the time you walk out of here. I'm sure of it. Would you pray with me as we open the scripture? Let's pray. God, I give you thanks for your word. That you would write to us. You know, these words were written thousands of years ago. You knew us, and you knew we needed to hear this. So we pray that you would capture us with your word, that it would capture our minds and our hearts, and that you'd send us out from here to really live this out. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Last week, Alan told us, reminded us of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience. In the last couple of years, that has not been a great description of my heart. Let me just tell you right now. Love, joy, peace, patience. We started COVID a couple of years ago, and it's a couple of years now. Can you believe that? And we had to do homeschool. Patience? I learned really quickly. I thank God for teachers every day now. I have a newfound appreciation. Patience was not happening. There was all kinds of frustrations, joy, and peace. Well, we live in a world where it's easy to lose joy and peace. I remember just early on when we were all doing homeschool and all that stuff, and there was a day when I just one kid too many, you know, in our house at least, and I was like, one of them's going to go, you know, and I came out, we got to get out of this house. We went and found somewhere just to get away. We're going to lose it. But I feel like every time I turn on the news or see what's going on in my community around me, there's just this, there's all kind of pain. And I feel in my own heart and soul this loss of patience and peace. I don't know why, but it just feels easier to get riled up. The truth is, we carry a lot of hurts. We carry a lot of brokenness. And Scripture gives us a clear command. It says, forgive. Right? Ephesians chapter 4. If you got a Bible, you can turn there with me, or you can follow along on the screen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 says this: be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. There it is. Simple, right? Be simple. You're supposed to forgive. Well, the question is like, well, how do you do that? Is it just a simple command? You've got to forgive? Do it. Forgive. You know, forced forgiveness doesn't work out that well. Have you noticed? We do this in my family. Your family, I'm sure, doesn't do this, but I've got kids that sometimes need to be forced to forgive. And we try that out, you know, and it goes like this. Tell your sister you're sorry. Sorry. You need to mean it. You got to say it and mean it. Sorry, you know, and that's not what I meant by mean it, but I realize it's not going to get any better. So then I turn to the other kid, tell them you're forgiven, you know. No, I'm not forgiving them. They hurt me. Tell them you're forgiven or I'll give you something to really be upset about, right? You forgive them. And it doesn't go well. You're forgiven, you know. And then I remember when I was a kid and I played football. I played football as a little kid all the way through high school. And two guys would just get a little out of control with each other, angry. And somebody would break out in a little bit of a fight. And the coaches would make you hold hands and run laps around the field. I didn't feel any more forgiving towards a person that I just got in a, with having to hold hands and running laps around. It doesn't work. Force forgiveness. That's not a thing. So is it guilt? Is that what we're supposed to do? You got to forgive because so much has been given to you. You owe God on this one. Forgive. And, you know, the guilt thing's not so great either. I've been trying that for years with my kids, right? You owe me. Can you believe what I've done for you? I took kids to Disney World Land, the one in Florida, not in Florida, California, that one, whichever one that one is. I took them when they were only two, back when they were only two. And that was just, I'm still trying to make them feel guilty for that, right? Do you know how much that cost? I made a mistake at one point because we're just waiting in line after line. We don't know what we're doing, so we wait in all the lines. And I made a mistake of calculating how many rides we went on divided by how much I spent, you know. This ride is costing us $100. You better love this and forgive your sister, you know. The guilt thing is, we go there, but I don't think that can be the reason we forgive. It doesn't actually lead to health. And yet throughout the scripture, especially in the New Testament, we're commanded again and again and again, forgive. Forgive as Christ forgave you. So what's going on? Well, I want us to look at the context of what's happening as Paul's talking to the church in Ephesus. We need to know kind of what he's saying. We need to understand the whole picture of it. So this one's not going to be on the screen, but if we were to start right in the beginning of chapter 4, in chapter 4, verse 1, if we were to go right back there, we would see that right from the beginning, Paul's talking to this little group of people, this church. Now, the church in Ephesus, these folks weren't church kind of folks. They didn't grow up in the faith or any faith, really. They were kind of outside of it. It was all new to them. And Paul's saying, your behavior is terrible. You got to live a new way. And as Paul's describing this to them, he starts to talk to them about their identity. This is who you really are. This is how it starts. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says this, as a prisoner of the Lord, he was writing to them from prison, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That's how he starts off. He's talking to them about their calling. And he's saying, you're a different person. You need to live into being a new person. This is your calling. So it goes down further, and you can. I want you to pick up with me in verse 20. So pull out your Bible or your phone or follow online. Verse 20 says this. That, however, and he says, this was your old way of living, and we don't live that way anymore. And he goes, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. He says, you have a new identity. You're a new person, and you're a new group of people, and you're meant to live a new way. You're part of God's kingdom now. In another place, Paul's writing to another church, and he says to them, you're citizens of the kingdom of heaven, so live like it. And it's in that context, then, that Paul now says, now here's what that looks like. He starts to paint a picture for them. And as he's painting this picture of what it looks like to live as a new person, part of the new creation, he lists off, forgive each other as Christ forgave you. It's in the context of being part of God's kingdom. Same thing happens, actually, in the Lord's Prayer. We pray that all the time. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We pray sins and sinners. That actually comes from Luke. And if you turn with me to Luke, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 says it this way. Verse 2. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" We pray that all the time. I just kind of float right past that. But you need to pay attention to context. He starts off with, "God, may your kingdom, may up there come down here. May your kingdom be present in my life." And then he says, this is how it plays out then. You know, that I wouldn't be led into temptation. That I'd have the things I daily need. And part of living in the kingdom of God, that up there would be down here, is that I would forgive and be forgiven. So when we start to see scripture talked about forgiveness, we start to see that it's in this context of being a new creation, a new group of people, that it's part of being the kingdom of God. And scripture tells us that this is what we're actually created for. This is what we're wired for. When Jesus begins his ministry, he starts by introducing the kingdom of God. He's saying, "I'm introducing a new way to live, a new way to be a community together, that your life, all of your life would be renewed as part of this kingdom community. This is what you're to be about." And it's in that description that we see that forgiveness happens. And we begin to understand that actually we're wired for this. So you are created to be part of this kingdom. You are created to be a part of a kingdom where relationships are in order, where there's healing between relationships, where your relationships that have been broken are restored. And you know this deep in your own heart. You actually long to forgive. Now, there's some caveats to that, right? We say, well, yes, I long to forgive as soon as they apologize, right? I mean, I'll forgive them as soon as they pay up what they owe me. I long to forgive. But there's this deeper longing. Yes, we want justice. We want things to be set right, sure. But there's this deeper longing for order in our relationships. There's this deeper longing for peace of relationship. And that is part of being wired to be in the kingdom of God. We long for this. Not that long ago, I got a text from a guy I hadn't talked to in about a year. And it was a good friend, but we had a disagreement, a misunderstanding. And you know, I did what good Christians do when there's a disagreement, a misunderstanding. I stopped talking to him, right? That's what we're supposed to do. I don't want any conflict or anything, so I just, you know, escaped, hid. And it had been about a year. And he texted me the other day. And he reached out and just said, "I love you, and I'm sorry." And I didn't realize that that had been bubbling in my heart. I didn't realize I had been carrying that or that worried me. But when I got that, it was just a little text. It wasn't even a conversation, just a simple text or a simple thing. There was this deep breath of relief in me. Just a, oh, that weighed on me even when I didn't notice that that relationship was broken, that it was out of order. And the idea of a restored relationship, guys, we really long for this. We long to be a part of a kingdom where our relationships are at peace. Now, in the Lord's Prayer, as in Ephesians, it's connected, right? It's connected. God forgives us, and we forgive others. And you'll see that pairing throughout Scripture. Because we long for these restored relationships. We long for our relationship with God to be restored, to be at peace with our relationship with God. And we long for our relationship with others to be restored. And so Scripture gives us this command over and over again to forgive, because you are actually wired for forgiveness. The question is, how do we do this? How do we find this forgiveness? What do we do about it? I was reading this week a journal none of you would appreciate. Verbum et Ecclesia. I was falling asleep reading it. It was that exciting, and it was in English. I can't even read the title in Greek. But it was rough. And I was reading in it as this scholar was talking about. He was talking about forgiveness. He's talking about this connection between God's forgiveness of us and how that impacts our forgiveness of others. He's talking about it being part of this kingdom of God. It was actually good. I was just kind of dozing off though. And so I got to this one line. It just stood out to me. This is what he said. He said, "Firstly, human forgiveness requires true repentance." He was talking about our relationship with God. Firstly, he said, human forgiveness requires true repentance. And I thought, well, you know, that makes sense. I mean, we got to repent and then God forgives us. That's how it works. And then I thought about it for a minute. And I was like, no, wait a minute. No, wait. He's wrong. I started pounding the desk. He's wrong. I didn't really pound the desk, but I got very excited for that level of article. Running around the office trying to find someone. He's wrong. That's not the way it works. Listen, this is what he said. He says it this way. He says, one, repent. If we do that, two, God forgives. All right? We repent, then God forgives. But as I got to think about that, I thought, wait a minute. That's not actually kingdom order. That's not the gospel order. That's not the order of God's kingdom and how things work. God's kingdom, things are kind of upside down. I mean, this is how we think it should go. This is how we would sort of in our own logic, in our world, this is how things go. But that's not the order of the kingdom at all. The order of the kingdom is opposite of that. The order of the kingdom works like this. Number one, God gives grace. God gives that to us in spite of ourselves before we ever thought about doing anything right. God gives us grace. It's the great gift of God. Then, because of God's grace, we respond. We respond by reordering. Now, I'm using that word repent in its definition, right? That word repent, I told you this before, means to change direction. It means that word's metanoia, to change direction. To repent is to reorder. We don't reorder and then God gives us grace. No, God gives us grace, and that grace leads to our reordering. Does that make sense? You don't seem as excited as I was. I was like running around the office looking for someone to high five. Come on, guys. Oh, I love that. All right, we're in. Woo! That's the order. This is the gospel. And it has implications then for how we forgive others. And that's what's amazing about this. We were wired for this. And so we have to cross this out. And as we begin to learn to forgive, we have to start to understand it as a gift. Forgiveness as grace. Now this is complex. And it's hard. But I want us to get it because it matters. It will begin to open our eyes to what it means to live as a community of faith and a people of faith and a new people that God has called us to be. Because I always say, right, again, I'll forgive once they get their act in order. I'll forgive once they come to me groveling, and I'll probably make them grovel a lot. But the gospel order flips things around. God gives grace, and out of that grace, reordering starts to take place. So this is what begins to happen. There are three things that start to happen as we begin to give grace, as we start with forgiveness. If we take a step towards forgiveness, the first thing that happens is this. It begins to reorder our heart. The first thing that happens in forgiveness begins to work inside of us. You see, we're trapped with all kinds of hurts that we hold on to. I was listening to a sermon by a pastor named Tim Keller, and Tim Keller started to talk about the word wrath. He says, we carry around wrath. Wrath is just for all the hurts and all the brokenness that we've seen around us. We hold on to wrath. He says, wrath actually comes from this old Scottish word, and then it's a sort of Germanic word before that. And it comes, the background word is the same root as the word wreath. Wreath and wrath. It kind of comes from this root to mean to twist, to circle up. That's sort of the idea behind it. Keller says there's one other word, same root, wraith. Anybody know that word, wraith? Wraith is an old word for ghost. It's a word I know from Lord of the Rings. You read Lord of the Rings, you read about the ring wraiths. Wraith is a ghost. Ghosts experience some kind of trauma, and they get stuck there, and they just relive that. That's why the word's the same. It's trauma where we get stuck. We just relive it over and over and over. So many of us get stuck holding on to this. And God offers us to live part of the kingdom of peace, where our relationships would be at peace. He's restored our relationship with him, and he invites us to restore our relationship with others. And we start with forgiveness, and that step of forgiveness, that begins to reorder our own hearts. Now, it's not easy. It's not simple. So we're going to spend 3 weeks talking about this, okay? I don't want you to get there. We're just looking at the theology of it today. It's not like, oh, Cass said just forgive and your heart's going to be fine and no problem. It's done. That's not how it works. We're going to spend 3 weeks looking. We're going to look at scripture. We're going to look at how. We're going to get very practical. How do we forgive? How do we ask for forgiveness? What does this process look like? But I want you to see this. It reorders our hearts. The second thing that offering grace, offering forgiveness does, it opens a door for reordering the wrong. You gotta watch this carefully. This matters. Christian forgiveness. Sometimes we kind of, in Christian circles, we sort of talk about forgiveness like, oh, just forget about it. In fact, when somebody says, apologizes to us, we say, well, it was nothing. That's actually not a Christ-like response. It wasn't nothing. It was something. See, Christian forgiveness recognizes the wrong. It recognizes the brokenness. It says, no, you did wrong. And I forgive you. So the forgiveness comes in the face of what's wrong. Christian forgiveness stands up and says, no, that was wrong. It points it out. It says, we don't do that. This is beyond the boundary. There is brokenness here. And yet, even so, God heals. God forgives. And I forgive. When Jesus comes to his disciples after his resurrection, he shows up. He still has scars on his hands. See, they see the scars, but the scars point to the resurrection. They point to the healing. Christian forgiveness does not say, well, we don't need to repair the brokenness. We don't need to fix the wrong. No, it says we need to. But that God heals, it offers hope of healing. You see, that's deep, real forgiveness. It's not a simple and cheap forgiveness. It just says, it was nothing, forget about it. No. Because wounds happen. Some of you have faced great wounds. And the little wounds add up to big ones. And it wouldn't make any sense at all. It wouldn't be real grace. It wouldn't be real forgiveness if you didn't come to honest terms and say, no, it hurt. And it was wrong. But God forgives. And you can see how hard this is, right? You can see why this is going to take time to work through. It's not something that's just simple that you just, well, we just say it and it just fixes it. But it opens the door. And so when we start the step of forgiveness, the door becomes open. Now, I say opens the door because this can't only happen with you, right? For that wrong to be righted, it takes two, and you may not be able to fully get there. We're going to open the door. We're going to move in that direction. That's the call of Scripture. There's a third thing. There's a third thing that forgiveness does. It gives us an opportunity. Because I can't spell, I was looking for another word, but I didn't find it. So hopefully it gives us an opportunity. Okay, thank you. To reorder the relationship. So longing of all of our hearts. When we talk about forgiveness, forgiveness isn't really about justice. I mean, justice is part of it. It's important. Forgiveness isn't just about righting a wrong. I mean, that's important. It's part of it. But forgiveness really is about healing relationships. That's the longing of all of our hearts. It's at the core of what forgiveness is. And forgiveness opens the door to that, for restored relationship. Now, we have to be careful. We have to recognize that in the world that we live in, there are abuses that are so grave that a restored relationship might not be healthy. It might not be appropriate. There are some things that we long for that restored relationship. We move as far in this direction as we can, and yet boundaries are important. And we say, in this life, until Christ comes again, that relationship, it wouldn't be healthy to restore. And so we'll talk through that as we look through this over the next few weeks. But the door becomes open to restored relationships when we start with forgiveness. This is how scripture kind of builds this picture of what it means to be a community of faith, of new people, of new creation, to live in a kingdom of God, a kingdom in which there is peace in our relationships. We long for this. And it calls us to take this step of forgiveness. Not glibly or without thought. No, deeply. But Scripture knows, God knows as he's given us Scripture, that as we begin to forgive, it starts to reorder our lives. And the calling to us isn't wait until somebody else makes the first move. The calling is to begin this process of forgiveness. As you do, your heart is reordered. As you do, you open the door to reorder the wrong that was done. As you do, you give the opportunity, the potential to reorder, to restore the relationship. This is what it means to be the people of God. We have to live in this community where healing actually happens. Would you pray with me? Father, I give you thanks for your word that would speak so specifically about stuff that we deal with every day. God, that thousands of years ago, you spoke into people, they wrote it down, knowing what we would be going through. And you give us this opportunity for healing. Father, help us to be a community of healing. Help us to live in relationships of healing. God, give us the chance to begin to forgive. Help us to have the courage to begin to take that step. Guys, if we've looked at the big picture today, the theology of forgiveness, help us to use that as a lens to look at our own lives. God, would you bring forgiveness into my life? Would you bring forgiveness into our lives? We pray this in your name.